Students at UMKC are watching their colleagues at Mizzou closely these days as MU students continue their drive for an improved racial culture in Columbia. Students here are eager to spotlight racial concerns on the Kansas City campus and push for changes that will give students more voice in hiring and policy decisions. With us here to talk about it are CJ. He's a junior at UMKC, president of KRU Student Media, and events coordinator for the Men of Color Initiative. CJ, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mark Bryant's also here. He's a sophomore at UMKC and chair of the Youth Corps Black Panthers Party, Kansas City chapter. Mark, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Hi, thank you.
And also joining us is a junior from UMKC, Kevin Woods. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Stephen?
Well, what were your reactions when you all first heard about what happened over at Mizzou, Kevin? What was your reaction?
Oh, you know, I just thought, wow, this is 2015. I think that in a university, more ideas towards keeping people where they are and reinforcing those ideas. So the fact that no one resigned is definitely something I can agree with.
Mm-hmm. But people did resign at Mizzou, just to clarify.
Sure, just to clarify, yes.
Yeah, and you were happy with that or not?
Unhappy with that.
Unhappy because?
Because the Tim Wolf did leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unhappy with it because I feel like he could have stayed there and done more work and corrected his policies, and things could have worked out in the end.
CJ, your reaction to the student protests over at Mizzou and what you were hearing about what happened over there?
Well, I wasn't entirely surprised because I was aware of the culture of Mizzou and the issues that they have always had for several years about racist issues that come up. They have a black homecoming there and how people are constantly disrespecting the issues. They're not allowed in Greektown. They have to establish their own places. Like, racism is rampant at Mizzou. So I'm very happy at the resignation because I feel like when you're a president of an entire system and the racism is at your door and for years you've done nothing, you know, it has to mean something to the students. Mm-hmm. The students don't feel safe. They don't feel protected. They feel invisible. And it's your job as the president of an entire system to make the students feel safe. They didn't even ask for the resignation of the chancellor, but I think that he realized that, you know, he played a part in this.
So you were okay with the resignations, it sounds like.
I am definitely okay with it.
Yeah, so a different view from Kevin here. Mark, your view.
I absolutely feel like he had to go. You know, when you go to a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution, you're going to face things like this. To my understanding, Tim Wolf has been notified a lot of times about, you know, the racism that was going on campus.
He'd been told about it.
Not only that, but when they did, you know, sack the homecoming parade, you know, they got it right in front of his car. And there were Mizzou alums outside shouting racial slurs to them, throwing things at them. He never once came out and addressed these things. So, you know, and also we're making very generalized indictments of the students, telling them that systematic oppression was that they didn't feel as though their place on campus, that they didn't have as many opportunities as the other students on campus.
Yeah. Well, what about the whole notion of him sticking around, Mark, and if that would have been a positive experience in the long run to sort of help President Wolf sort of get his feel for the issues over there and walk through it all?
Well, I think that Tim Wolf's position is really to make money for the UM system. That's really what his position, or one of his positions as president of the UM system. Me personally, I felt like he had to go. I think that, you know, he was going to constantly perpetuate like this notion that, you know, that basically everything was fine and they were just shaking their fists for nothing.
Yeah. So. Well, let's move on to UMKC a little bit, gentlemen. Kevin, what makes UMKC different from Mizzou, at least in your estimation?
Well, we don't have a football team.
That's a big one.
So in these regards, we must focus on the academics because that's our strongest. And minus the fact that we have great athletics, we really have a powerful student body, especially with the new student union.
How's the culture different between the two institutions? Do you have a feel for that?
You know, I think that UMKC is surrounded by a lot of, like, for example, a lot of different towns and villages. CJ, you say something?
Yeah, go CJ.
The culture is definitely different. Mizzou is a college with a city around it. UMKC is a college in a city.
Right.
So racism will not be as prevalent here because the city won't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
If racism was to occur on UMKC's campus, the city would descend on the campus about what's about to happen. In Columbia, that's not about to happen. Columbia's small, and Mizzou makes Columbia what it is. UMKC does have issues, and they do come up, but I think not only that, we have city people who are in our administration. We have great administration people who immediately respond to these issues and open up a dialogue. Tim Wolf wasn't even willing to do that, and when he did, he kind of put his foot in his mouth talking about, you know, that we realize that we can't achieve. But I think that what he fails to realize is that when you have a diverse campus, the what these different groups go through is unique to each group. So saying that they don't realize that they can achieve is like a smack in the face to people who have really worked hard to overcome things to get where they are. And they felt like he doesn't understand that. And then when he's non-responsive, it allows the situation to continue to grow.
Yeah, Mark?
Well, I just wanted to put it out there that me and CJ are student leaders at UMKC, and we have been leading coalitions of students back and forth to Mizzou to stand in solidarity with the brothers and sisters up there. So we have a firsthand experience as to what's going on. I think that the differences between UMKC and Mizzou is the fact that at Mizzou they do not have a lot of so-called minority or black faculty at their campus. I think that UMKC is doing a lot to try to answer the questions of diversity on campus, but there is still underlying racism at UMKC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen in the papers that, you know, predominantly white fraternities have made strides to accept more LGBTQIA students, but have not, in fact, made those strides to accept more black students.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely a divide between the fraternities, black fraternities and predominantly white fraternities.
Hey, tell me about the racism at UMKC. Mark, what have you experienced?
Well, there's definitely underlying racism. It's not right in your face like it is at Mizzou.
Give me an example.
Like, for example, I've had a professor that has said things about Muslims. You know, he said, you know, that, for example, we can learn about all different cultures and it's good for us, but one culture we will not learn about are the Muslims because they're so dangerous. He's also made statements like...
Professor said that in class.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And he's also made statements like, he was talking about, you know, the mentality of human beings through evolution. And at one point in time, we were very barbarous. And he was saying that this equates to people killing each other over colors like the Crips and the Bloods. You know, I felt like he was stabbing at the black community. So I raised my hand and I said, well, I will also say that this is the mentality of the Aryan Nation, the KKK, or any other white supremacist organization. And he said, well, no, that's just a little bit different. So there's definitely like, you know, systematic oppression everywhere, especially when you have a PWI.
CJ, how about the racism that you may have experienced on campus? Point to something that you've been through.
As a student leader, you see a lot more. You know, I have a lot of events on campus, and we get a lot of, you know, don't hang with them, don't go over there, you don't want to talk to them, or like they're playing.
You mean white kids saying mm-hmm. don't go hang with the black kids?
Mm-hmm. They say that to even people like we have a lot of international students that account for a lot of diversity. They tell them don't go to the multicultural student affairs office, don't hang out with them, don't join this group. We get a lot of they're playing Negro music in the choir, they're playing this, they're playing that.
Huh.
It's a very, it's not, cause so it comes off as them being like saying it in a group that's not, they're not trying, it's like they're not trying to seem racist, but they really are saying things that subliminate the group. So it's a very covert racist culture
mm-hmm.
at UMKC.
All right, how does that stuff make you feel?
It empowers me a little bit, but it also makes me feel like I don't belong there at times. But at the same time, like, it also empowers me to find people who feel the same way. That's one reason why, like, when you have our organization, like Men of Color, like, we find a lot of strength in that. Like, we started out like three or four people and grew into a, like, 25-man organization that can support each other
mm-hmm.
and throw great events, you know, to make sure that we make sure that we feel empowered.
Yeah, Mark?
Well, you know, I'm also a member of Men of Color, but also, you know, with the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense here in Kansas City, Missouri, you know, we feel like... that, you know, you shouldn't fight racism with racism. We feel like, you know, you shouldn't fight oppression with oppression. You know, the problem that we have is that we don't have solidarity amongst our people. And that's what we're trying to push for. You know, all the campuses of the UM systems and every campus that is a PWI across the nation needs to stand with Mizzou
mm-hmm.
and address some of these underlying racist, you know, things that are going on our campuses.
You know, I'm wondering, Kevin, what your experience with racism has been on campus.
Oh.
Get that cough button.
I think this would be interesting as a budding actuarial scientist. Some statistics I would like to look at would be, let's imagine your Kansas City University in 1930s, and UMKC in 2016. The ratio between different races, and say let's say that you had, and I know that the PWI for Kansas City University would probably
be... PWI, again, being predominantly white institution.
I imagine it would be very much so a predominantly white institution, more so than now. And imagine the racism then. And so basically what I'm getting at is I think that slowly but surely we're becoming a less racist university because, what, you take most of our... Because we have so many different cultures... present.
It's a pretty diverse place.
Oh, very much so.
I work up there, obviously. It's a pretty diverse place.
The School of Engineering, I mean, it's very Indian.
Yeah. So you're a little more optimistic.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
CJ.
I'm a little more of a realist, and I'm a history major, so of course we go by, you know, trends and events that we can count on. So that being said, I think that truly eradicating racism has in our campus and making sure that we're moving that direction has to start when we get to the campus. Like I've been saying this on campus, it starts in admissions. If when you first come to the campus, we say we're a diverse campus and we honor and protect diversity and start there and make sure that they know when they come that assaults on different races and diverse peoples will not be tolerated, then starting from there, it will continue to grow. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, this is not the place for you to do that. And then we can say that we're moving towards that. But when we allow these small little instances, because that's probably how Mizzou started, and we're in the same system. So anything that could happen there could happen here. There's no consequence. Mm-hmm. We operate under the same rules. So injustice in Mizzou is really injustice in UMKC because we're still University of Missouri.
Yeah.
Those rules apply to all of us. So if we allow it there, we can allow it here.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking this morning about racism at MU, racism at UMKC, and how they're different. Mark, hop in here. You had your hand up.
Well, we definitely have to understand how white supremacy and white privilege works. You know, this is what you have to understand is that when you are the dominant society, you know, everything that you do, everything that you say is the norm, and everything that anybody else does or says is not the norm or uncivilized. So therefore, when you know, not only white people can perpetuate white supremacy, but international students can, black students can, any student of any color can, because really what it comes down to is, are you trying to like perpetuate like this, you know, a very Eurocentric way of life? That's mm-hmm. that's the thing that I have to get people to understand. You know, it's not just about white people. You know, black people uphold white supremacy as well. And international students do as well.
CJ, you alluded to this already, but let's talk about the response that UMKC has made to the unrest over at MU. What's been happening on the UMKC campus, and how do you feel about it?
Well, the first thing is the conversations. Like, UMKC is very willing to talk with us, which one thing I love. Before we even had our own meeting as students, the entire English department, had a meeting of their own and invited all the students to come and speak with them and talk about working towards solutions. And
what kind of issues were cited and what kind of solutions were cited at that meeting, CJ?
You know, just like the challenges that people have, like how to lead college level intelligent conversations about the issues and not letting them devolve when, like what Mark said, with comments of, you know, kind of ignorant kind of things that are not like peer review, like, you know, like things that you would expect to hear in a college classroom. Mm-hmm. They are kind of really basic kind of opinions that are right. allowed to run rampant in college classrooms that have no basis in intellectual fact, how to deal with those issues, how to make sure that students can achieve success so that we don't have students that feel like they're invisible, how to make sure that everyone is included, and to make sure that even though this is a PWI with about only 11 to 15%, I want to say, being black, we have to make sure that people can still achieve, even though if that's the case, that they're not the most visible group on campus.
Yeah. Mark?
Well, and, you know, when we do have those town hall meetings and things like that, also we're having, you know, students that are not you know, students on the campus come and, you know, survey the campus or what have you. I think it's important that they take them, you know, through these meetings so that mm-hmm. they understand that, you know, the climate of the campus and the climate of, you know, what's going on at Mizzou, what's going on at UMKC, UM Systems as a whole period. Because, you know, really what I think is that they're blindly putting students in to some heat, you know, yeah. and it's also being done at Mizzou. When we were at Mizzou, there were a lot of potential students coming through, and they were not talking about the racism that was practiced at Mizzou. So
are you satisfied then with the level of discourse, the level of dialogue at UMKC then, Mark? Am I hearing you right?
I definitely am. But at the same time, I think that there is also, there's always room for improvement on anything that we do.
So. What else do the three of you want to see happen at UMKC? What else needs to happen? Kevin, hop in here.
Oh, definitely an organization that just promotes diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine having a common ratio between all of the members. So there's not a majority of people in the group. Mm-hmm. And that group goes into the city and, you know, goes out. So you
goes out and does what?
Everything. Anything and everything, you know, just
projects,
as a team.
Community projects, anything.
Sure, certainly.
Yeah.
Going to restaurants, you know, just, you know, hosting things.
I'm running short of time. CJ, what else do you want to see happen?
I think what we really need is my most important piece is going to be the comprehensive counseling that addresses issues that is able to counsel people for success for their different issues. Like if you come from a home that is financially less able, addresses those issues and make sure that you have a plan that will allow you to graduate from college and be successful.
Okay.
So like, I feel like now the counseling system is very much set up in order to where we don't make sure everyone can succeed.
And Mark, I'll give you the final word.
Okay, yeah, I think that we need to start implementing training as far as, you know, to bring light to white supremacy, to white privilege. We have Title IX training on rape culture and
things
like that.
Do you want to have
like
a
that.
Broader sense of training
Absolutely.
With all students,
Absolutely.
All faculty, that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing?
And I think that we also need to have more opportunities for black people to share their culture with the world as well. We have a lot of opportunities for Latinos and a lot of opportunities for LGBTQA, but we don't have very many opportunities for the black culture on campus.
I want to thank CJ, Mark Bryant, Kevin Woods, all for coming in. I hope you guys will come back and keep us apprised of what you see going on up on campus.
Thanks for the invite.